Hello, and thanks for joining us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue a teaching series called Uncommon Courage. In these lessons, Rick is going to share biblical inspiration that will help you get the courage you need to follow God's calling for your life. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you how to get a hardcover copy of Pastor Rick's wonderful book, The Purpose of Christmas, just in time for the season. Go to PastorRick.com to find out more, or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part two of a message called The Courage to Follow Your Calling.
In the Bible, when you talk about generations, a generation is 40 years. That's so like 40 years in the wilderness, that's a generation in the Bible times. Saddleback used to be a one generation church. When we first started, we only had one generation and everybody was pretty much about the same age. We're now a two generation church. We have those of you who are over 40, and we have those of you who are under 40. Those of you who are over 40 are part of the Caleb generation. Those of you who are under 40 are part of the Timothy generation. God uses both. God needs both and wants to use both and wants to use you in a great way. So I want to tell you two stories this week, in the story of Caleb and the story of Timothy, and show you six things you need to do in order to fulfill the life mission that you were wired for, the calling that you were created for, the purpose that you were designed for. Now, the first is the story of Caleb. By the way, let me show you a picture of Caleb. I have one. Here it is. Okay. That's actually my grandson, Caleb. So that's not the one we're talking about this weekend. By the way, I got to tell you a funny story, because yesterday Kay picked up Caleb from preschool, and when he got in the car, he looked at her and he said, Grammy, why are you still alive? as a preschooler can always ask. And she said, because I'm not old yet. And she said, Caleb, do you think I'm old? He said, well, you are, but Papa isn't. So there we go. Wisdom from Caleb, all right? This concludes my message. Thank you, everybody. Go home. It's been nice seeing you. All right. You know the story of the Exodus. Moses leads the Jewish people out of 400 years of slavery in Egypt. And they cross this giant desert called the Sinai. And they come up to the area that God's going to give them, the nation of Israel, and it's called the Promised Land. And Moses says, okay, you guys, let's send in some spies to see what the land is like, so we'll know what kind of battles we're going to have to fight and what it's worth. So they send in 12 spies. Moses sends 12 spies in to spy out the land of Israel, the Promised Land. And when the 12 spies come back, there's a minority report and a majority report. The majority report says, there's no way we can take this nation. It's filled with people who could whip our fannies. We're never going to be able to handle this, and we should just go back to Egypt. There was a minority report by two guys who said, we can do this, we can do this. And their names were Caleb and Joshua. By the way, because they were the only two who had faith to believe they could go into the Promised Land, God let an entire generation wander for next 40 years until that entire generation died off. And the only two people who were the original group who got to go into the Promised Land, who left Egypt, were Caleb and Joshua. And the only reason they got to go in is because they had enough faith to believe. But they came back with a positive report. What do we learn from the life of Caleb about your life calling? Three things. Write these down. Number one, the first thing we learn is, if I'm going to follow my calling, number one, I must believe I can do it, even if I'm scared. That's the first step of fulfilling your life mission in life. I must believe I can do it, even if I'm scared to death. This is the faith factor. In Numbers chapter 13, we have the story. It says, the spies who had gone in to see the Promised Land came back and they gave this account to Moses. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does indeed flow with milk and honey. In other words, it's a very bountiful, it's a very fruitful, wonderful place. In fact, here's the fruit, and they brought back some grapes and stuff. But, and here's the big but the people who live there in the promised land are powerful, and the cities are fortified, and they're very large. And we even saw the descendants of Anak there. And the Amalekites lived there, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Stalactites, and the Stalagmites, and the Audacites, and the Uptites. They all lived there. And these guys start having a panic attack. Now they said, we went into this country that God's supposed to give us, and it's a great country, but it's full of big cities, and they're walled cities, and there are giants there. There were people from the descendants of Anak. The Anak people were very, very tall, and in the eyes of the Hebrews, they looked like giants. By the way, Anak, a little trivia, pop culture, is where George Lucas got the term Anakin Skywalker. Remember how tall Darth Vader was? He was an Anakin. He was of the sons of Anak. He was a giant. He was taller than everybody. That's where he got that term. It's a Bible term. And he said, they're giants in the land. He said, it's giant cities with giant problems, with giant people, and we look like grasshoppers. So they're scared to death. Only one guy has the courage to speak up, and his name is Caleb. And he says, I believe we can do it even if I'm scared to death. Look at the next verse, verse 30, Numbers 13. Then Caleb silenced the people before God, before Moses, and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. Now I want you to circle two phrases. We should and we can. Circle that. We should and we can. Those are the two essential attitudes for you fulfilling your calling in life. You got to say, I should do it and I can do it. That's the starting point. I should do it and I can do it. Once I know what God wants me to do with my life, I should say, I should do it and I can do it. That's exactly what Caleb said. Now, why was Caleb so confident? Because he trusted God. Look at the next verse. Caleb said, the Lord will lead us into that land and he will give us that fertile land. Don't turn against the Lord. Don't be afraid of the people in that land. We will chew them up and spit them out. They have no protection, but the Lord is with us. So the first thing we find is that if I'm going to be what God wants me to be, I've got to say, okay, God, I don't know what to do, but I'm going to trust you, and I believe that you can do it through me. I'm going to believe that I can do it even if I'm scared. Here's the second thing you got to do if you're going to fulfill the calling God has on your life. I must be willing to reject negative advice. I must be willing to reject negative advice if I'm going to follow my calling in life. I could tell you story after story of this one in my own life. You know, when 1979, I was finishing up seminary in Fort Worth, Texas. And I felt like God was calling me, this was my calling, to come to Southern California and start this church. And so I phoned a guy that I had a lot of respect for. And I called him up, he lived in Oklahoma at the time, and I told this man, I said, I think God is calling me to move to Southern California and start a church. You know what he told me? Rick, that's the dumbest idea I've ever heard. He said, you'll go out to California, you'll never be heard from again. It's not going to happen. And he just kind of took cold water and poured it on. And I thought, okay, now wait a minute. I know God's telling me to do this. But here's a guy telling me not to. Let me tell you something. Anytime you get serious about using your life the way God wants you to use it, all hell's going to break loose. There are going to be people who oppose it. You're going to have friends, maybe even family members, who oppose you. Because Satan's going to throw everything he can at you to keep you from fulfilling your calling. It's not going to be a walk in the park. In fact, a walk in the park in some cities will get you killed. And so if you're going to fulfill your calling, there will be people who are negative against it, and you can expect that. In fact, to fulfill your calling in life, you're probably going to have to ignore popular opinion. That's why so few people actually fulfill the calling that God has for their life. You got to be willing to go against popular opinion. Look what happened. Numbers 14, verses 2. All the Israelites grumbled, and they said, "If only we had died in Egypt or in the desert. Why is the Lord taking us to a new country only to die in battle? Let's go back to Egypt where we all lived all our lives." You understand what they're saying? They said, "We prefer safety in slavery." Rather than going and doing what God had called them to do, they said, "We'd rather go back to the old way of life. We'd go back to that old cold codependency. I want to go back to that old way of living. This is scary. Something new, something different. I'm frightened. I might get hurt. At least it was safe back in Egypt. I was a slave, and I'll go back to being enslaved by my addiction, by my relationships, by my past, by my guilt." What slavery are you willing to go back to rather than go forward and take a risk? Caleb had uncommon courage. He said, "Okay, I'm going to believe I can do it, even if I'm scared, and I'm going to be willing to reject negative advice." In fact, it wasn't just negative advice. Look at the next verse. Numbers 14:10 says this. The whole community began to talk about stoning Joshua and Caleb. They're going to kill the two guys. And this is like not this kind of stoned. It's real stones. Okay? Okay? The whole community began talking about stoning Joshua and Caleb, but the glorious presence of the Lord appeared and to all of Israel from the tabernacle. You know, I love the fact that God's presence saved Caleb and Joshua, and that'll happen in your life too. Pioneers always get the arrow in the back. You got to be willing to reject negative advice if you're going to go after God's calling on your life. Third thing, I must believe it's never too late.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. You can sign up for Pastor Rick's free email devotional at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
Let the true reason for the season fill your heart with hope this year when you discover Pastor Rick's inspirational book, The Purpose of Christmas. In it, Rick shows you how Christmas is designed to meet your three deepest needs and how receiving the three Christmas gifts God has for you will transform your life forever. This book is sure to become a beloved family favorite to be read every Christmas and to be shared with your friends who may not know how much God loves them. We'll send you the inspiring and beautifully illustrated book, The Purpose of Christmas, as our way of saying thanks when you give a gift to help Daily Hope take the certain hope of Jesus to people around the world. To get your copy of this great resource, just call 800-600-5004 or go to PastorRick.com to get yours. That's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Once again, here's Pastor Rick Warren.
If I'm going to follow my calling in life, what God wants me to do with the rest of my life, I've got to believe it's never, never, never too late. Remember, the 12 spies went into the land. They said, "It's too hard. It's a great place, but we can't take on." So God says, "Because of your unbelief, you can all wander around the desert for another 40 years. And he let that entire generation die because that generation wouldn't believe. But Caleb believed and Joshua believed, and they got to live. And now they come back 40 years later. Caleb's now 85 years old on the second chance. And notice here, Joshua chapter 14, they come up to the promised land 40 years later. Caleb says, "I'm now 85 years old, but I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. And I'm just as ready to fight as I was then. So give me the mountain region." That's the most difficult area. "Give me the mountain region that the Lord promised me that day long ago." I love that. "Give me the mountain region." And he says, "You know the giants live there, and the cities are large with great walls." You know what I love about Caleb? He's saying, "Give me the toughest plot spot. Give me the biggest assignment. Give me the hardest city. Give me the place with the biggest giants. Give me the mountain region. I don't want some easy place. I know I'm 85 years old, but I still got it in me. And I believe it's never too late." You know, I was, last week I went into Rite Aid to buy a birthday card, a one-year-old birthday card for my youngest grandchild, for Claire. And she turned one this last week. And while I was there, I saw something I've never seen before in the American greeting card sections. They now have an entire section that says birthday cards for your 80th birthday, your 85th birthday, your 90th birthday, your 95th birthday, your 100th birthday. Now, friends, growing up, I didn't see those kind of cards. You know why? Because everybody's living longer now. When my dad was born, the average age of a man, an American man, he lived an average age of 76. That life expectancy has gone up 12 years in his lifetime. I talked to a doctor here in the area this week. He said, Rick, I have 13 patients who are over 100. So, you know, I took Pastor Glenn out to lunch for his birthday this last week. He was 72. I said, Glenn, what do you intend to do for the next 30 years of your life? Some of you think it's time to hang it up, and I'm telling you, get it down, dust it off. The best is yet to come. You're part of the Caleb generation, okay? You're part of the Caleb generation. You think God's going to let you live 30 years just to play golf? Are you kidding me? You know, there's a word that's not in the Bible. It's called retirement. Now, you may stop working, but you still keep serving the Lord. Maybe in earlier years you were paid to good. Now you're good for nothing. And the fact is, you have more wisdom, you have more experience, and God does not want to waste that. And Caleb, at 85 years old, was beginning the greatest life mission of his life. I want to remind you that Moses' life didn't actually even start till he was 80. It was 80 when God called him. He heard the burning bush and said, you're going to go set people free. He was 80 years old when that happened. I want to remind you that Abraham was 79 when God called him. And he was in his 90s when God actually really started working in his life. Some of you are in the Caleb generation. You're in the over 40 generation. And I'm saying to you, you have to believe that it's never too late to start on your life calling. It's never too late. Abraham was old. Moses was old. I give you all kinds of stories of guys in the Bible that God didn't even use until later on in life. And here with Caleb, he's 85 years old. Now, I've got to believe I can do it even if I'm scared. I've got to be willing to reject negative advice. And the third thing is, I want to follow my calling. I've got to believe it's not too late. I can get started even if I'm right on the edge or in retirement. Now, the next three steps, I want to go from the opposite generation, from Timothy. And so turn your outline over, and here are three lessons we learn about your life calling from the younger generation. Timothy was a very young man, the opposite of Caleb. He was a very young man, just getting started. He had traveled with Paul, and then Paul says, I'm going to send you to a new city called Ephesus, and I'm going to have you help start a church there and help grow it. And you're going to help lead it. And Timothy, don't be scared. Timothy had a problem with panic attacks. Timothy had a problem with fear. And God had to say to him, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And so what do we learn from the life of Timothy? The younger generation, what do we learn from him? Well, write these down. If I'm going to fulfill my calling, I must develop the gifts God gave me. I've got to develop the gifts that God gave me. Let me read you a couple verses. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 12 and 14, 15. Do not let anyone look down on you because you are young. Now, this is talking to you who are under 40 here. Don't let anybody look down on you because you're young, but be an example for the believers in your speech, in your conduct, in your love, your faith, and purity, and do not neglect. Do not neglect, that means develop, the spiritual gift that is in you. Practice these things. What does practice mean? You do it over and over so you can get good at something. Practice these things. Devote yourself to them. Develop your talents. Devote yourself to them in order that your progress may be seen by all. 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul says this to Timothy, fan into flame the gift of God which is in you. Fan into flame, in other words, develop it, make the most of it. Through the laying on of hands, God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and love and a self-discipline. Now let me talk to those of you who are under 40. As a young adult, your number one responsibility before God is to develop your talent. That's the number one thing God wants you to do, to cultivate your talent that he's going to use in the rest of your life. Develop the gift God has given me. The second thing you're supposed to do is the next thing. Write this down. Refuse to be distracted. Refuse to be distracted by other things. If God has put a call on your life, if God wants to use your life for his purpose and his glory, don't you dare get distracted by things that are second in importance. God tells Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, keep a close watch on yourself and on your teaching. Stay true to what is right, and God will save you and those who hear you. The easiest thing to do as a young adult is get sidetracked. Get sidetracked by building your business, building your family, building your career, building your savings. And there's more things to distract you than anything before. You can waste your life watching Gangnam Style YouTube videos and a whole bunch of other things. But you got to refuse to be distracted. 1 Timothy 6, Timothy, guard what God has entrusted to you. That's your calling. Avoid godless, foolish discussions with those who oppose you with their so-called knowledge. Some people have wandered off from the faith by following such foolishness. You know, don't get involved in like these online discussions that just waste your time and energy and distract you. I've got a plan for your life. I've got a purpose for your life, Timothy. I've got a calling on your life. Develop the gift that God gave you and refuse to be distracted. Stay single focused. I would have to say the one thing that I have done right in my life is I have stayed single focused. I haven't always done everything right. I've made a lot of mistakes. But as a young man, I focused my life. And I said, I'm not going to get distracted by a lot of other things. And I kept focused. And this is what God is saying here. Develop your gift. Refuse to be distracted. And number six is give God my very best.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so happy that you've chosen to study along with us today. Now, if you'd like to receive Rick's free daily devotional, go to PastorRick.com and sign up right now. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, let the true reason for the season fill your heart with hope this year when you discover Pastor Rick's inspirational book, The Purpose of Christmas. Here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
Have you noticed that people are more open to talking about Jesus at Christmas than at any other time of the year? Regardless of their religious background or their problems or their circumstances, everybody needs to know that Jesus loves them, that Christmas means that God has a plan for their life, and that God is with us. So this Christmas season, I want to encourage you to share the story of Christmas with your family, your friends, and your neighbors. Now, one of the ways you can do this is through a little book I wrote called The Purpose of Christmas. It explains the true meaning of Christmas and the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And when you give somebody a copy of The Purpose of Christmas, it's going to start a conversation with them about Jesus and about the purpose of his love and the purpose for their lives. You can invite them to a Christmas Eve service at your church. This month, I'd like to send you a copy of this book, The Purpose of Christmas. You can read it. You can pass it on to a friend who needs to know the true meaning. Just partner with us at Daily Hope and let us partner with you in reaching your friends and family for Christ. By the way, write to me, rick@pastorrick.com, and let me know who you're praying for, who you want to come to Christ this Christmas, who you're inviting to church. I'd love to pray with you about that. God bless you.
To get your copy of this great resource, just call 800-600-5004 or go to PastorRick.com to get yours. That's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.